Welcome back, listeners. On this episode, I spoke to composer Jeff Russo about his work on Love and Death and Mrs. Davis. Russo is a 5-time Emmy nominee, where he is a 1-time winner for Fargo, a BAFTA Games Award nominee, a 2-time Grammy Award nominee, and much more.
I have to say, this is a long-time dream coming true. I have had the original theme to the 3rd season of Fargo on constant repeat for many years now since the season premiered. I think it's one of the best crafted pieces of composition for television that I've heard in quite some time. So I have to say what a huge fan I am of you first before just getting started.
Well, I appreciate that. Wow, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, I love the Carrie Coon season. I just think she was such a force to be reckoned with. And I think all of the seasons are, but I just think that one particularly stands out to be something so special. And what you guys are able to do each season is incredible, but that season really just went over and above for me. So it's definitely in a special little playlist that I, whenever I need quiet time to think or to reflect, it's on my little playlist.
Well, thank you. Wow, that's great.
No, of course. And I wanted to start out with Fargo before diving into the exciting projects that you have coming up in the next month or two. And what has always fascinated me about Fargo is how much of the composition is written towards the characters. And I'm curious, with each season that you've done for the show, if there's been sort of a favorite from each one that in terms of composing the score around each of the characters, if there's a favorite character that you've gotten to do from each one.
It's interesting. I haven't really thought about it. You know, Malvo's theme from season 1 was pretty great to do, and Carrie's character in season 3 was really interesting to write as well. I mean, it's hard to pick one favorite because they're all so different.
You know?
They're all so unique, each one of those characters. So every time I go to write a theme, I really, you know, really stop and study the character. I mean, I usually start with the script. And then, of course, as Noah shoots the show, things unfold in a way that maybe I didn't expect, and things change and I adjust and I amend and edit based on what I'm seeing, but still it's impossible to say. It's impossible to say. Although what I've mentioned is those were very interesting ones, but so were many other character themes. So it's interesting. No one's ever asked me that question before. So I never really put much thought into it. But it's almost impossible to answer.
No, I bet it's like choosing a favorite child. There's so many great story arcs that go on within each of the seasons. So I can only imagine picking one from each one would be tough to choose. So I completely understand there. And I'm curious if doing Fargo was intimidating for you, having it be such a popular film in the 90s by the Coens. I'm just curious, when taking on the project, if there was any sort of trepidation or any sort of internal fear that you might have had taking on a project of that stature.
I mean, you know, yes, there's always fear. It's like standing in the shadow of giants, right? I mean, the movie was very iconic. The movie itself was incredible. The score for the movie was incredible. And trying to sort of differentiate from that and becoming something that is individual and unique is a really tall order. You know, to try to keep the vibe of the original and yet still speak discreetly, you know, I mean, like on its own, was difficult and certainly frightening beyond all things. Mm. So hard to get there, you know.
No, absolutely. And I mean, even just dipping your toe, well, not dipping your toes, fully immersing yourself in Star Trek. I mean, IP or IP to a, however you want to define that. I mean, it obviously has a certain intimidation level, but I think in terms of rising to the occasion, I think it's fantastic to see that you take on these challenges with such new and, I mean, while still sticking to sort of the original themes, but really making it your own.
I appreciate that. It's very difficult to do that for someone's ego, I would say. You know, just trying to stand up next to these composers that are as, you know, successful. And I don't mean successful career-wise, I mean successful at writing this music that is so iconic and so enigmatic and so evocative. To try to stand up next to them is it's a challenge.
Mm. And I mean, even just tinkering with the main themes, I mean, do you just find little ways to sort of add new flavors to compare and contrast with the new season that you're approaching?
I mean, I try to approach everything with fresh ears and fresh eyes. So I don't really sort of compare. Mm. I just sort of start new, like we've never done it before.
Mm. And so in regards to other sort of Noah Hawley projects, I mean, I'm just curious what that process looks like for you. I mean, the amount of projects that you've done with him get close to probably a dozen. And I'm just curious what that process is like.
Well, you know, we have, you know, it's the same as it is, you know, with any film or television show that I approach. You know, we communicate, and that's the most important thing. At the point where we are now, in having done so many projects together, that communication is, you know, it flows pretty easily. You know, he's able to say that one thing you did that one time, can you try something like that? And I'll know what he means in context. So the way we have this sort of back and forth in our vernacular is very, it's very easy. There's still a creative aspect to it that's really thrilling, you know, and everything. And, you know, he has some super, super intensely great ideas musically and narratively and how they all sort of work together. And I'm constantly in awe of that. Mm. But the way we go about each one of these projects is the same, basically. It's like we start talking about music early on in his process, which is great for me because I get to sort of be a part of the creative process from the very beginning in that way. And I get a lot more time to develop an idea.
Mm. And is there a project in particular for you from your ranging filmography that you wish had gotten a bit more attention than it had?
Do you mean like in terms of viewers?
Or just, yeah, maybe viewers or just maybe not lack of appreciation, but just you wish more people had seen it and that you were particularly proud of the project.
Yeah, the Man Who Fell to Earth. The Man Who Fell to Earth is, I mean, it's just, we worked so hard and so long on it, and it really felt like it wasn't given its due. And I don't mean in terms of success, I just mean it didn't feel like it was even really given a shot. You know, it sort of came and went, and that was sort of very disappointing for me because I'm quite proud of that score. Quite proud of what we had to do to to get that score done. And it was a lot. We recorded, you know, we recorded in London during the pandemic, and, you know, that we didn't do any traveling there, but we were doing it all remotely. And it was very complicated to get done. And it was a very big score. You know, it's a very, it was a show that was really huge in scale and scope. And, you know, I wanted the score to mirror that. And, you know, we took a lot of care with that score. Not that I don't take care with all scores, I do. But there was something about that felt like, after it came out, I wanted very much everybody to love it as much as I did, because I loved the show. And, you know, not enough people were given a chance to see it, I think.
And I mean, with your new projects that you have coming out in the next month or two, I mean, can you sort of tell me what excited you about Mrs. Davis and Love and Death, just sort of upon initial pitch?
Well, you know, a lot of that has to do with people and personality and filmmakers and what they do. You know, with Love and Death, you know, working with David Kelly and Leslie Linkeglatter, I was just really excited to work with them, because I've loved so many of the things they had worked on in the past. Mm-hmm. They, you know, both of these projects are actually quite unique for me in terms of the point at which I was brought on to the project. I was brought on pretty late on both the projects. So I got to see a lot more of what they had already done. With Love and Death, they sent me all seven episodes right away. And I got to watch all of them. And it was just really so well done. And Liz Olson is just such an incredible actor. And there's the performances in that are so good. And the story is really engaging. So, and the type of thing that both David and Leslie wanted me to do with it was right in line with what I thought I could do best with it. It required a subtle yet deft hand at trying to manipulate the narrative, so not to have the audience feel manipulated, if that makes any sense. And that sort of, you know, because it's very easy to play sad on sad or scary on scary. And when you don't want to do that, when you want to be, you know, when you want to be really, really subtle and yet still want to support the narrative, it can be quite complicated. They really wanted me to dive into that. And with Mrs. Davis, you know, talking to Damon Lindelof and Tara Hernandez, like, they're, again, here's a filmmaker who I've loved so many of his projects, that when given the opportunity to work with him and then sit down and speak to Tara, who I didn't know, and hear the way they pitched this idea of the show, and then again brought in a little bit later in the process, so I got to see the first four episodes in a finished form, I really got to see how much fun this show was going to be. And, you know, that's sort of the thing with Mrs. Davis. It's such a unique idea and such a unique show, the way they put it together. And I've had so much fun doing this music that they sort of let me, one of the things they said was, you know, push us until we're like, whoa, wait, pull it back a little bit. they gave me this opportunity to like really push the boundary of how crazy I could get with the score. And I thought that was, you know, I thought that was really generous of them as in terms of giving me some creative license to try some things that I might not have tried otherwise.
And I mean, ultimately, I mean, these are coming out within the next few weeks. And I'm just curious what you hope audience members take away from each of these series.
And I mean, they're two, they could not be any different, right? Yeah. Both these shows couldn't be any different. You know, for people who might be interested in seeing a true crime drama, which is what Love and Death is, you know, I feel like people will become totally engaged in that first episode and they should dive in and live in it because the performances are so, you know, intense and so well crafted that it just really draws you in. With Mrs. Davis, it's like, I hope people watch and just have a fun time because it really is one of those things where you can laugh and you can cry and you can be, you know, perplexed and you can be like, holy shit, what is happening right now? What is going on? So they're two totally different experiences. And it's just like, come and have a great ride on that one. Mm.
Well, maybe it'll be nice to put one on before or after each of the other projects. So you can sort of have either a bit of levity before and then you sort of go into this darker spot with Love and Death, or after Love and Death, you go into something like Miss Davis. So who knows, it could be a great companion piece to sort of
yeah, back. Absolutely.
And then, I mean, final question for you, and this is, I guess, more personal. I mean, is there someone today that you can think of that, I mean, you wouldn't be here without in terms of your career and where it's blossomed from?
Well, if you're talking about my career working as a composer for film and TV, yeah, I would say it's Wendy Melvoin, who is one of two people in the duo Wendy and Lisa. And they gave me an opportunity to sit in their studio and watch them do this same job. And then I worked a little for them for a while back in 2006. And without her support and guidance at that time in my life, I probably wouldn't have decided that this was something I really wanted to do. I would say, in terms of like helping me out in giving me, because I was pretty aimless at the time. I had my band, because I've been in a band for most of my adult life. At the time, my band was taking a break and I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I really didn't know if I wanted to try to make a solo record or if I wanted to just try to play sessions or produce albums. I didn't really know. And Wendy invited me to sit in her and Lisa's studio and watch really what they were doing with making scores for television. At the time, they were working on Heroes and a show called Crossing Jordan. And I sat with them and watched them do what they do. And eventually they gave me a job. And, you know, I helped clean up their studio and edit stuff, and eventually I started writing some cues for them, and it was really interesting, and they really helped me, and I would say that's who I would say.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. But Jeff, I want to thank you so much for your time today, and just the candor to the question or the answers that you gave me. I think like I said, I've been such a huge fan of your work, and I really can't wait for these next two projects to come out to see how things have expanded and just to enjoy two new universes that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I mean, I happen to be working on some pretty different stuff, you know, with Love and Death, which actually I finished last summer, and they've held it until now but I am currently writing the last two episodes of Mrs. Davis while working on the new season of Fargo and something called Ripley, which is an eight episode miniseries based on the book The Talented Mr. Ripley, and that's been really great as well. That I think will come out sometime at the end of the year, maybe the beginning of next year.
And what about Fargo, will that be out by the end of this year?
I think you know what? I don't know the answer to that question. They're always like very, they play their cards very close to the vest. So I don't know. I'm assuming they want it to come out this year. I assume we'll be done with it in time before I start working with Noah on his Aliens project.
Yes.
Yeah. So that'll be a lot of fun too. But I'm assuming that they will put it out this year, but I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, hey, it's still exciting. Whether it comes out this year or next, I think everyone is waiting on pins and needles to see where we go next.
Thank you all for listening. This episode was edited and produced by me, Jackson Vickery. Graphics were done by Dylan Michael, and the opening and closing theme were done by Sterling Gavinsky.